podcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research as Austin runs onto the set.
I'm here. I know
wearing
I seem
his
like
shorts.
I'm really unpunctual right now.
What is up with you, man?
Jeez. I've been all over the place. I was trying to get more water. I think the clock going back has thrown me off a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Here, take a purple stick. You need one.
Yeah, like five of them. One, two, three.
No, don't
four,
take five.
Five,
my gosh,
three.
One's enough.
Three's good. No, this time change. You know, I was talking to somebody about it the other day, and we were talking about it. This whole time change thing is so antiquated. A lot of places, a lot of states have gotten rid of it now.
No, I don't think a lot have. This is my imagination. I know.
I think Arizona's dumped it.
I just dumped my doggone protein powder on my lap.
Oh, boy. It's a Wednesday. But, you know, it's the same thing with the calendar. We shouldn't have all these weird dates and leap years and everything changes. It's been 28 days for 13 months. This whole time change thing. Anyways.
Live on the air. Ted Brewer dumping stuff on his lap.
Can't fix any of this. So, yeah. We're here, and to give you guys a heads up, I got so many requests on this the other day.
Hey, this is important, guys.
Last couple of weeks. Listen, you guys listen? Listen. Don't look at him. Look at me.
I'll stop.
Angel Wars is at the top of Brewer Show now. You guys kept asking for it. Everybody kept looking for it on the old site. What do you use it? A Ginzu blade to stir your chocolate?
I already cut my finger with one of those.
You make shakers.
Awful.
I understand that, right?
I know. It's been one of those mornings, man.
It's been a mess.
This is like I've got to go clean up here in a minute.
I proceed with this. Angel Wars. I did this for you guys. You click at the top. It's there. All eight parts. He's going to get some descriptions for each part this week for me.
No. I'm going to do a description for the main part. If you go to the very top. It says, all the way to the top, complete Angel Wars series in one file. It's 3 hours. Go.
Okay, and then you got part one through
eight. Well, click it. See what it says as far as time.
I don't even know.
Is it hot yet? Is it going to work? Yep, there it is. 3 hours and 57 minutes.
Golly, I forgot how long that was.
Oh, and that took us 2 weeks. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
But that's all in one file. We had one of our listeners, one of my dear friends, put it all together for me.
And you got eight parts if you want to break it down.
If you want to watch it. But yeah, what I did last year, I was driving from Atlanta all the way down to Amelia Island.
Yep.
And it was about a four-hour trip. And I listened to the whole thing over again. And I thought to myself, wow, I just covered a lot of scripture in this.
No, you covered a lot of it. There's a ton that's in it.
Yeah.
And so, again, be sure to check it out if you guys want to listen to that, along with the other podcasts that are updating every single day. And please be sure to go on some of these videos, subscribe, like. We got Rumble, Spotify, Gab, iHeartRadio, whole host of different platforms that we're on now. We're doing this for you guys. We got the description for the episodes. I'm trying to make this so easy, you can't not watch it, basically. Essentially, you got to try not to watch it. I'm making it so easy. So be sure to check it out at the website at Brewer Show and also Team Health Masters. Got a lot of new product kits that we're putting on there as well on the website. So be sure to check that out. And we change the product of the week later on this afternoon. Zinc is still the winner. I haven't changed it over yet. Been updating some other stuff on the website this morning. So be sure to check that out at Team Health Masters. And also, too, you guys saw this interesting article here. The FDA has essentially been letting companies, food companies, decide if their ingredients and additives are safe. This, you know, the limits of this stuff as far as with the FDA and how corrupt they are knows no bounds. Give me 1 second. Oh, man. All right, I'm back. Thank you guys for that. It says companies don't have to tell the FDA about their decisions. They don't have to list all the ingredients on their product label, apparently. And as a result, the FDA's oversight of food additives is weaker than its oversight of prescription drugs. It says the detail here, chemical ingredients with mystifying names. We've talked about this in detail, about all the different names. There's at least 950 substances in our food that is not permitted in Europe. 950 substances.
Well, RFK is now vowing radical transparency on food supplies. Yep. We're poisoning ourselves. And I tell you what, I'm really happy this guy's in. And I know he's got some issues in some areas, but I tell you what, he really knows his health stuff.
He does.
It says Monday on FNC's Hannity, Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert Kenney, I like the way that sounds, pledged radical transparencies and efforts to make America healthy again. According to Kennedy, the current use of seed oils, that's omega-6 oils, was having a massive impact on the public health as far as the negative standpoint. Explain the difference between seed oil and tallow and why this is a big deal. Why? He said, we're going to RFA Steak and Shake, Hannity asked. Well, you know, processed foods, is seed oil is one of the components of processed foods, Kennedy replied. And that is, you know, all of the science indicates that ultra-processed foods are what are behind the principal culprit of all the health issues in the United States. We've talked about this so many times, even with the ultra-processed milks, yep. Austin.
Ultra-pasteurized
milk. Yep. And it's an extraordinary explosion, the epidemic we have had in chronic disease. He says, when my uncle was president, 3% of the Americans had a chronic disease. Today, 60% have chronic diseases. I mean, unbelievable. We have 66% of adults are diabetic or pre-diabetic, 38% of teens. When you and I were kids, Sean, the average pediatrician would see one case of juvenile diabetes in his lifetime over 40 or 50 career. Today, one out of every three kids has diabetes or is pre-diabetic, Austin, because of the high fructose corn syrup. I'm going to add that. Diabetes and other mitochondrial diseases are now costing Americans more than our military budget, he said. We spend 2 to 3 times on health care what other countries do, and we have one of the worst outcomes. We lead the world in heart disease. We lead the world in diabetes. We lead the world in cancer, and we have the highest infant death rate of any industrialized country. And it's not because we have the best medical system in the world. We're poisoning ourselves, and it's coming from, you know, principally these ultra-processed foods and what they are trying to do as far as increasing their profit margins. I mean, unreal. This morning I got a text in from a friend of mine who had a severe problem. She ended up having a massive she ended up having to lose some weight, and she ended up having, you know, the gastric bypass surgery done, and they took part of her stomach out. And here's what she said, you know, as far as the, you know, say she goes she's talking about how bad she was, how sick she was, and she goes basically she said, I have no more brain fog, or I'm overwhelmed with feelings. I can think clearly. I can set goals. I can accomplish them like the old me. First time since my bariatric surgery, and I also give this to my son to make him feel better. And, you know, it's just important to me for you guys to realize that there are a lot of people out there right now that have a lot of health problems that we can help.
What product was she taking?
She's taking GHI cleanse and powder multiple.
You tell me that. That's
she's taking the powder multiple and the GHI cleanse, wow, and she's feeling great. I mean, first time with no brain fog. And, you know, we had a friend come in the office yesterday, yeah, Ken.
I had a good friend, my great friend, brother. And his wife was having some issues with her stomach. She runs the GHI cleanse now, been using it for years. I had another buddy who works at the bank, Jerome, great guy, helps with all our banking stuff. He was having gut problems. He got on the GHI cleanse now, been running 2 scoops a day in the morning, completely knocked it out. And the biggest thing, and so we talked about it in detail yesterday, was the toxins and the glyphosate and the additives that they're adding to all this food now, and it's causing so much inflammation in the digestive tract because it's being exposed on a regular basis. The thing about it is, if you're eating some processed food or ultra-processed food or some junk or a burger, your body can process some of it. It can't eat that crap all the time and function properly, though, and you've got to get the junk back out, and that's why the GHI cleanse does such
a
good job.
Well, you got a friend of yours who's a bodybuilder, works out. He's having all kinds of gut problems. Yeah. It took care of his gut problems.
Well, that's the thing. He's a lineman, so he's constantly eating on the road all the time, constantly eating fast food. Now he's having all these gut problems from it, and I've told him for years, I said, dude, you eat fast food every day. Your body can't get it out of your system fast enough, and it's causing inflammation.
You know, I was having problems with a little bit of acid reflux. Yeah. I started on the GHI cleanse, completely cleared it up. I was having a little bit of acid indigestion, and it completely cleared it up because it has digestive enzymes in it. I mean, that GHI cleanse, where's the can of that?
We used it up. I had one in here. All we got is Fit Food right now. So I just run the Fit Food usually throughout the day.
No, I got empty bottles of everything, but no GHI.
And that's why we put it together, because I had so many people asking about this, and we never really done it before because it was just a regular product as far as in the can, because it's not cheap. But everybody was asking for a 3-pack special on it, and that's why we threw it together here with the 3-pack. So you basically buy 3 cans, you get free shipping and 10% off on it.
That's a lot of money.
Well, the problem, the issue we've run into this product,
big discount.
It's expensive to manufacture. If you look at the ingredient list on
it's one of our best products.
Not only are they is it unbelievably high dose. I mean, everything is ultra dose. And I laugh sometimes. I have people show me supplements and say, "Oh, I'm trying this," and I'll have like some proprietary blend, and I've like 40 name ingredients. Okay, and they look pretty decent. The proprietary blend's like 300 milligrams. And I'm like,
that's all 40.
That's all 40, 50 products equal 300 to 400 to 500 milligrams. I'm like, one or two of the ingredients in the list need to at least be that to have any relevant dosage. So again, make sure what you're taking is dosed properly. You've got high quality ingredients in it and it's actually doing something for you, because you got to get the stuff out of your systems. The FDA is saying that.
Years ago, I had this TV evangelist contact me, and he had another TV evangelist who owned a big network out in Texas.
Yep.
And they said, "We want you to promote this product. We're going to be giving
this." Oh, yeah.
Remember this? We're going to be giving this to the children in Africa for the nutritional deficiencies.
Big push.
And it's going to be a big multi-level marketing thing. And I said, "Well, I don't really do multi-level marketing." And he said, "But we want you involved in this because we want to have you as our basically scientific advisor and have you on the board and have you basically talk about how great this product is."
They want us to promote the heck out of it. Push it on the show, push it on the website, and really, really promote it.
And so they made me a very lucrative offer, honestly. Yep. And I said to him, I said, "I won't do that until I have the product assayed."
I have it assayed.
And they said, "What do you mean assayed?" I said, What do you mean assayed? I mean, like, we're going to have it chemically analyzed to find out what's in it. And they go, "Oh, we haven't done that yet." And I'm like, "Why would you possibly promote a product that you haven't looked at from a chemical assay standpoint and trust the manufacturer?"
We took it to our big lab.
No, we took it to the big lab. I mean, we took it to the big boys. And it was expensive. We had it broken down.
Full analysis.
And almost half the stuff that they said was in there didn't even exist in there. And it was filled with silica or sand. Remember that?
And then the B vitamins were in pictograms.
Yeah, they were like millions, trillions or billions. I don't even know. I had to look it up. I'd never even heard of a pictogram. No,
it was such a irrelevant dosage.
Meaningless.
It wouldn't even affect your blood levels if you took it right before you got blood drawn.
No, nothing.
It was completely irrelevant. I mean, you looked at it. I looked at it. I was like, "Dude, I'm not touching this."
I looked at it.
I told him,
"We're not going to. I'm not going to support this." I said, "This is a scam. It's a scam." I said, "This is horrible."
We actually talked about doing the ultimate multiple of them. And Mary said, "Oh, well, that's too much money for that product." And I said, "Because it actually works, dude. If you're going to be given this, we can do the chewable if you want. We can do the powder if you want." We can't make any money with that. I'm like, so was this about helping children in Africa? Or was it about generating millions of dollars selling sand in a bag that said it was vitamins? You'd be the judge,
guys. No offense, but we can't even make this crap up. Yeah, you know I mean, but I mean, I'm telling you, I could sit down and I could actually basically tell you stories that you would say, "I cannot believe that this is actually happening and it's happened to you." And I'm telling you, it has. And I don't go into all that negative stuff on the show because it's just unnecessary, because some of it goes back 30, 40 years. Yeah. I've been through some stuff, especially with churches and especially with, Christian TV and Christian radio and all the rest of the stuff. And, I'm to the point now, I just call all that stuff. It was really big. I just call it the Zionist media. That's all it is. And you think, well, that's awful. You would say that. Whatever. Just fuss at me about something else, but don't fuss at me about what I know is to be true. I've experienced. By the way, let me get off this topic. I'm about to get mad. RFK Jr. tells food companies to remove the artificial dyes.
All of them.
Food companies told by the health services that he wants artificial dyes stripped from their products. Kennedy has pledged to tackle chronic illnesses by overhauling the U.S. diet, and food dye elimination is part of his plan. He has encouraged fast food chains to switch to beef tallow, which, by the way, is a pretty good product.
Yeah.
Beef fat, right? Yeah. Instead of seed oils for French fries, and they taste a lot better. Now, you think about it for a second.
A lot healthier, by the way.
Well, you know, I would never recommend lard. That's pork. That's bleh. He's saying no. Beef tallow. There's so much beef tallow on the market now that's not being used in the processing of cows. They're having to dispose of it. True. I mean, but they can put that into a jar and have it. You can sit it up on the refrigerator. You can sit it up inside the refrigerator, whatever you have to do as far as storing it properly. And you can use it to cook eggs.
Significantly healthier than basically canola oil.
You can't compare them. And so he wants everybody to start shifting to beef tallow, which is great. As a closed-door washing gathering, which included the CEOs of Kellogg's, Schmucker's, General Mills, Kennedy said it's a top priority of the Trump administration to rid America's food of artificial dyes. I think that's absolutely great that he is doing this. It really, really, really is. And now here's one more he's got. He goes, RFK Jr. exposed the truth that could bankrupt the antidepressant industry. You know, I'm starting to like this guy for president.
Also. I told you guys, I support him when he went in there. Like I said, no. I don't agree with 100% of everything.
I would have voted. By the way, if he'd stayed in that third party candidate, I would have voted for him.
Just they were never going to let him in.
They couldn't let him be that way because he could split the vote. RFK is pulling back the curtain on a reality that could shake the pharmaceutical industry. Good. It's not mental health at its core isn't about brain chemistry. It's about what we eat. You what he just said? He said it doesn't have to do, because remember, Prozac, let me give you a little idea here. If you're taking Wellbutrin or Prozac or Zoloft or, you know, Effexor or whatever you are taking, you don't have a deficiency of any of those compounds. I mean, I'm going to stop here a second and just look at you for a second, okay? It's like this. If you have a headache, you don't have a deficiency of aspirin or Tylenol or Advil. There's something else going on. It could be blood sugar. It could be toxins. It could be high blood sugar. It could be low blood sugar. It could be something that you ate. It could be the fact that you're hungry. All these different things affect headaches. But what you do is you take a drug like an aspirin or a Tylenol, which is unbelievably damaging to the liver, to get rid of your headache. You don't have a deficiency of aspirin or Tylenol when you have a headache.
Well, aspirin's a lot healthier than Tylenol is.
It is. And now, same thing is true with gut health. If you've got a problem with acid reflux, you don't have a deficiency of proton pump inhibitors also.
No.
So you're trying to cut off the acid that helps you to digest your food in order not to have acid reflux. Well, honestly, in many cases, it's because you don't have enough digestive enzymes is why you have acid and acid problems going on, and you have, you know, acid reflux. It's because you don't have enough acid. The pH. Let me explain this. I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I got to finish it. Okay, this is your stomach. Okay, this is your stomach. Your stomach's not much bigger than this anyhow. Here's your stomach. And no, it's not.
After you eat a burger.
Well, if you stretch it, it'll stretch. Okay, this is where the esophagus goes down into the stomach. Right here, there's what's called a sphincter. Okay, it's a muscle like it closes up and opens and closes like this, and what happens is it's called an esophageal sphincter. And what happens when you dump your food into your stomach, this sphincter says, okay, my stomach is full. It's time to digest it. It starts producing acid. But before it'll produce acid, it shuts the sphincter up so that the acid can't go back up into the esophagus and cause esophageal burning. You think, whoa, that's simple. I try to make things really less complicated on the show. And so what happens is, if there's not enough acid in here because your body's not producing it, the sphincter doesn't know to close. And so now all of a sudden you're eating and the food's regurgitating, coming back up into your esophagus, and you're having acid reflux. That's what this is. So a lot of times, so what they do, well, here's the answer to them. They give you a proton pump inhibitor to stop the acid from even producing.
Which means you don't digest your
food. Which means now you're not digesting your food. You think, oh, no one's ever explained it to me like that. That's how it works. And so a lot of times you've got to increase the acid or increase the digestive enzyme activity in the stomach, and then the sphincter closes all the way, like what it does with the GHI cleanse. Awesome.
That's why it works so well.
And a lot of people can do apple cider vinegar, but if you've got an acid pH, it makes it worse. Don't do the apple cider. Unless you know what your pH is, get some pH strips if you want to do the apple cider vinegar, and go to the grocery store or the drugstore, and if your pHs are below 6.4 in your urine or your saliva pH within an hour after you eat, do not use apple cider vinegar because it'll drive the pHs lower. But it will help with acid reflux if your pHs are too high if you're running an alkaline system. But the reality is it's this esophageal sphincter that causes the primary problems with gas and reflux because it doesn't close. And if you don't get it closed long enough, it'll cause esophageal erosion or burning of the esophagus as the acid is regurgitated up into the esophagus. Because this sphincter, this valve, is a valve. Let's look at it like a valve. It won't close. It's like this lid. That's an example. The sphincter closes. And now the stomach can digest this food and goes through. That's why the GHI cleanse works so well if you have esophageal problems or gastrointestinal problems. And when you think about it this way, it's not a deficiency of proton pump inhibitors. And that's what Kennedy's saying here. He's saying it's not the fact that these people need these psychiatric drugs. It's about what we eat.
It is.
Because the food could cause the blood sugar to go up and down, up and down, up and down. And when you go too high, you get headaches. You go down too low, you get headaches. And when you get down too low, you get really bad brain fog and you get really, really irritable. That's hypoglycemia. I'm like that.
Oh, yeah,
if I don't keep my blood sugar stabilized, Sharon used to take me shopping, right? God, I loathe shopping. But she used to take me shopping, but she'd always make sure I was fed. I mean, make sure my stomach was full before she took me shopping, kept my blood sugar stabilized. Then I'd go out and say, okay, let's go ahead and buy you some dresses or buy you some clothes. You go, you want to shop on your wife? Yeah, I had a great marriage. Did I like going out and go shopping with my wife? No, but I like picking out her clothes because I think sometimes I like the way the clothes looked on her, but I'm not going to go with it right now. But he goes on to say, there are studies coming out from Stanford and Harvard that show a lot of mental illness, including anxiety and depression, are related to food.
Yep.
I have said this for years in the articles that I wrote about why so many B vitamin deficiencies are causing different types of psychiatric disorders.
Well, this is why I want to tie into it, because there's proton pump inhibitors like Prilosec are some of the leading over-the-counter drugs now. I mean, they're used by people. I've talked to so many people.
Hundreds of millions.
This is another research study. This is back from 15 years ago. It says proton pump inhibitors and risk of mineral and vitamin deficiency, evidence and clinical implications. PPIs have been associated with increased risk of vitamin and mineral deficiencies impacting B12, vitamin C, calcium, iron, and magnesium. We got to remember, vitamin C, magnesium, iron, B12, those all affect mood and affect neurological problems as well. So again, the reason why these drugs were created like proton pump inhibitors were for people that had a serious peptic ulcer, had an issue with esophageal erosion, and you're using those to reduce the acid for a short period of time to get something healed up in your stomach. They were never designed to be used long term. Proton pump inhibitors were never designed to be used.
I know people whose health has completely deteriorated for 30 years.
And now what happens is they've been on them for so long.
They can't get off of them.
If they come off of them now, they have a massive rebound of their acid. And all of a sudden they start basically throwing up. They start having diarrhea, all these horrible health problems when they try to come off of them.
He goes on to say, this gets really interesting in here. He goes on to say that, you know, Kennedy says that the problem isn't happening everywhere. It's just in the U.S. about 40% of the people here are obese. Japan's about 5%. Yep. The problem is poisoning the food. And he said over 1,000 ingredients, like you mentioned, like, Austin, are banned in Europe, are still allowed in American food supply. He says we are letting down our children, and there's a moral issue here. And then what's really interesting, he says something here. He goes, he's been basically now going to Steak and Shake because they have dumped their seed oils, and they are now using beef tallow to cook their French fries.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
And I thought, because Steak and Shake, for example, has ditched seed oils in favor of beef tallow for frying their food, a move that aligns with Kennedy's push to eliminate harmful industrial oils from our diet. You know, Sweetgreen has pledged to remove seed oils entirely from its menu, opting for healthier alternatives like avocado oil. Outback Steakhouse is also reporting evaluating its ingredients in response to growing consumer demand for cleaner food. The other day, I went to dinner. And, man, I'm asking everything.
Yeah.
This is a nice restaurant. I said, okay, what do you cook it in? What kind of oil do you use? Blah, blah, blah. All canola oil. I said, okay, don't do it. I said, I want my eggs cooked in butter.
Yep.
Cook them in butter. I want the omelet cooked in butter. I don't want this stuff in my body. And you think, well, you're really doing that? We all, I mean, you know, you and me and Austin, we all need to do that because this show is big enough now that if we all start doing that, who listen to the show, when we go to a restaurant, we say, what did you cook it in? They're going to start evaluating it.
Well, the thing is, I've already told everybody this. It's so easy now because almost every restaurant you go to, you know, when the waitress or waiter walks up, they go, are there any food allergies? Anybody at this table have any allergies?
I always say yes.
Yes. I do. I have a soybean and canola oil allergy. Everybody does.
And by the way, you do have one.
Everybody does. That's not a lie. It's unbelievably toxic. So you tell them when they're cooking something, if you're cooking something that's going to be in oil, say, hey, I need it cooked in butter. I need it cooked in, you know,
beef tallow.
Beef tallow.
But most of them don't have that yet.
Whatever they cook on there. Now, if it's something like a steak, it doesn't really matter because they're not putting any oil in that as far as when you're cooking a steak.
But you don't want them putting canola oil on the griddle either.
No, we usually don't want people.
Oh, yeah. They keep it from sticking. Yeah, they do it all the time. And they'll go out there because remember, the griddles have been soaked in canola oil anyhow, and that's the same griddle they're using. Yeah. And so the other day they said, well, since you have the allergy, we'll go ahead and use a pan instead of the griddle to cook your eggs. Because they have this big griddle, and they have it's covered in canola oil, and so they throw the eggs on there, and they flip them, so they really can't get the canola oil out of the eggs unless they use a separate pan.
Yeah, they go deep clean on the kettle.
But I thought that was pretty interesting. So I'm really – you say, well, you're really getting excited about this. Actually, I am getting excited about this because this is a big deal that I've been dealing with for 40 years, and I'm really happy to see it in my lifetime, Austin, actually get changed because I never thought it would because they have poisoned us and poisoned us and poisoned us and poisoned our children now, especially with the shots and the vaccines and all the other filth they're putting into the bodies of these young children, that we now have an entire generation of children who will be incapable of running the United States of America,
Because, I mean, I get email after email after email at the office, phone calls at the office from parents that are having children with all types of behavioral issues and can't figure out why. And 99% of the time when I ask a first few questions, what is their diet in the morning? What are they eating for lunch? What are they eating for dinner? Are they on any multivitamins? What is their, you know, basically standard daily supplemental intake? Almost invariably, there's no vitamins, or it's like Flintstones, which those are worse than not taking vitamins, and there's always some cereal. It's always cereal in the morning. I get that 95% of the answer. What are your kids eating for breakfast?
They eat cereal. Swine fattening
feed.
They're like
their Lucky Charms. They won't eat anything else but Lucky Charms in the morning. Okay, so you're giving them high fructose corn syrup with basically corn. That's all. They're all corn products now.
Glyphosate.
With ultra-processed milk, ultra-pasteurized milk. and you're wondering why they're having health problems and behavioral issues the rest of the day when you give them 30, 40, 50 grams of sugar first thing in the morning.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I have a friend of mine, dear friend, and I remember years ago his wife fussed at me and Sharon because we had too many rules for the kids, because we always ate clean.
Yeah.
We always made sure they did their homeschool. We all made sure that they did their homework and all the rest. And then she ends up having this one daughter who's like massively, like 300 pounds. I mean, clinically, you know, morbidly obese.
Yeah.
And finally she told me, well, you guys have too many rules. And she said this to me in the middle of a restaurant. And since, you know, I thought, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just not going to start a big blowout here in the restaurant. This woman has a tendency to run her mouth a lot. And I'm sorry, because there's a lot of guys out there run their mouth a lot. And I'm not picking on her from a gender standpoint, just this individual. And so they came back to the house after dinner. And, you know, we started a fire on the back porch.
Yeah.
We have a fireplace. We're not trying to burn the back porch down. Just look at that. We started a fire on the back porch. Dumpster fire on the back porch. And I told her, I said, well, the problem is, I said, it's not that, you know, we've got rules. It's we really care about the kids. And I looked at her and I said, your daughter's 300 pounds. That's your fault. You did this. Yep. She was obese when she was 8 years old because you're bringing crap home for her to eat. And now she eats crap only. And now she's 300 pounds. So this was your fault. It's on your watch. You did this to your daughter. And she looked at me and she got really abrasive. And of course, the conversation ended and they ended up leaving pretty quick, which is kind of, but we're still friends. But it's just that, and then finally she called me back about a week later and she goes, you know what? I thought about what you said. You're right. I did it.
Yeah.
I caused this. I said, I know you did. And I said, and that's the thing. That's why we have rules. Now, I will say one other thing about children. I'm good with kids until about 12. After that, man, they are on their own. They're going to figure it out on their own. Here's why. Because these kids have to start making their own decisions. And regardless of what you want them to do, they're going to do what they want. And if you don't let them, if they don't do what they want around you, they'll do it behind your back.
Well, see, and here's the thing that, like, I learned from growing up, and the same thing that I have, like, my kids and everything, is you've got to be able to have some movement as far as some flexibility with food. You can't be so rigid where it's like, oh, you guys are going to eat chicken and rice every single day.
No,
and
nothing. Well, no.
You can't do that, because then what happens, anytime they ever get a chance
they go to wild.
Food, they gorge on it. But you also, too, can kind of control the factors. If you're going to have some junk food, get some organic ice cream. Okay. If you're going to get a burger, go to a good burger
joint. Like Five Guys.
Yeah, don't go to McDonald's and buy trash swine food like that. In the morning, if they want something fun, get some organic oatmeal or something that you can mix with some eggs. The thing about
or send them on to Upper's house and have eggs.
Egg and cheese.
Organic biscuits. I've gotten really good at baking those, by the way.
And see, the thing that a lot of people fail to realize is the human body was not designed to have a copious amount of carbs first thing in the morning.
Nope.
It's breakfast. You're breaking your fast. You need to have good, high-quality fats. And especially for men, you have a lot of protein in the morning because you've been fasting for the last 6, 7, 8
That's why it's
hours.
Called break fast, B-R-E-A-K-F-A-S-T, break
and
fast.
There's a reason why. You'll notice if you eat in the morning, you eat a couple eggs with some GHI cleanse, you'll notice your blood sugar is flat all morning. You feel good. You have good energy.
And you burn body fat.
You go eat a nice big bowl of milk with a glass of orange juice and cereal first thing in the morning, you'd be back in bed in 30 minutes.
If I drink orange juice in the morning first thing on an empty stomach, I'm sleeping within 30 minutes. I literally pass out.
I can feel my blood sugar go up
straight down.
And I get a headache and then immediately crash from the insulin dump. And I'm like, I'm useless. I'm done. I will not.
And I've got a friend of mine who basically lost 35 pounds by eating 3 eggs in the morning.
Yep.
We did 3 eggs in the morning. And he basically just – now, he still, to this day, has kept the weight off, and he eats 3 eggs every morning, stabilizes the blood sugar, stabilizes the insulin, and helps the body to release glucagon, which is a hormone that burns body fat.
And here's another article right here that was just coming up again with Robert F. Kennedy. Says, ultra-processed foods linked to higher mortality in 32 diseases now. This isn't stuff we're making up. This isn't just
– we've been saying this for 40 years.
Saying this for years. And it talks about all the different foods and their classification. Then it talks about the different aspects of ultra process with basically hydrogenation, which is horrible, and hormone interference, taste stimulation, pleasurable taste that makes them so addictive. They said 5 tips for overcoming ultra processed foods. Stay informed about your health. Keep the food out of your diet. That's the first thing right there. And what we try to do, read nutrition labels. Go to bed early and get enough sleep. Lack of sleep affects hormone secretion, increases desire for high sugar, high fat foods. Go to bed early, helps with weight control. Drink more water. A lot of times, I'm just going to say this, people are eating not because they're hungry. They're eating because they're bored. They don't have anything else to do.
That's true.
They are. Drink a glass of water and let me know if you're hungry in 5 minutes. Just flat out. I've told people that before when they're trying to lose weight. So if you've been eating pretty clean all day and you're in your caloric range and you still feel like you're hungry, are you really hungry or are you just bored or you just need to drink some water? That's something to look at. Also, too, it says develop the habit of exercising. Exercise increases dopamine, increases serotonin, also helps out with metabolism. Exercise is crucial. You don't have to be in the gym for 2-3 hours a day. In fact, quite frankly, you can get a lot done in 10, 20, 30 minutes of exercise.
It takes me about 20 to 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, I've known guys over the years, even when I was younger, you know, you're in the gym for 2-4 hours.
Half a day. A
huge portion of your day. And finally, as you get older and you get busier and you got business and you got companies, you realize I can't afford to be in the gym, you know, from 6 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock and be in bed by midnight. It just doesn't work.
Plus you burn out too.
You burn out. Well, the problem is a lot of times, and I've seen this at public gyms, majority of time, the workouts aren't 3 or 4 hours. About half of it's screwing off on people's phones or talking or joking around or wasting time. That's why there's so many. I went to the Old Golds the other day. We did a 4:30 a.m. workout with some of my buddies. And on all the equipment, every single piece of equipment, they got these big stickers on them now. Do not use your phone on equipment.
When the people say,
do not use your phone
on equipment. They use it for a chair.
Yeah. Well, I said, two things. They sit. They do 10-minute breaks between sets. Like, oh, got to check my social media. I can't possibly get a superset in. Oh. So everybody there, they were on it. Nobody's playing on their phones at 4:30.
I work out at a place that has like 8 lap machines. Okay.
Yeah.
And we rotate. It's like we do 15 reps, 15 reps, and no rest.
Oh, yeah.
A giant set all the way around, 2 sets. You do 16 sets of lats. It literally takes 10 minutes. You're done.
Yep.
And that's, if you have a gym that you're capable of doing that, and people don't sit on machines, it makes it a lot easier. I know when I was a kid, I was a gym instructor. I also was an assistant manager to the gym that we ran. I was in there every Saturday.
Yeah.
And I realized that after about a year of doing that and having every one of my Saturdays taken, I got pretty burned out even going to the gym. Going into the gym and spending hours and hours and hours is really a big waste of time. And get it done.
It'll help too sometimes if you have a workout partner that will also help keep you accountable and push you. And also too, when you're a public gym training, it's a lot easier to superset when you have a workout partner because both you guys can use the machines that you're not on and swap in between supersets.
Now, you said something here about Kennedy. I wanted to come back and say this because I thought about it for a second. He's talking about hydrogenated oils.
Oh, yeah. Hydrogenated oils. Right.
And what's interesting about this is like trans fats.
Yep.
And I'm going to read this. This process involves adding hydrogen to liquid oils, turning them to solid or semi-solid fats like margarine and ghee. Zhang explained that the hydrogenated fats are stable and less likely to oxidize, thus prolonging the food shelf life. This process is widely used in cakes, biscuits, bread, butter, margarine, potato chips, etc., meringue, all of this stuff. And so the crazy part about this is this stuff is so poisonous that it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
And the Food and Drug Administration had to put a daily allowable amount of this hydrogenated fat, trans fats. And they didn't know how to do it. But I remember years ago, I was on with Steve and Vicky in Atlanta. I've told you the story before, but for the new listeners, I'll do this. I was on with Steve and Vicky, the number one talk show in Atlanta, Georgia. That show was phenomenal. And they were phenomenal as far as hosts. And I remember they started talking to me about hydrogenated oils, and I covered the top 10 foods never to eat.
Yep.
Well, Emory University pitched a little fit. I almost said biatch. I can't say that very often.
You can say biatch.
I should say biatch.
I think you
said biatch. Emory pitched a biatch fit. And they were mad. They demanded equal airtime because I had given out bad information.
I remember that.
I told them to basically use butter instead of margarine because it was a trans fat. Oh, they would come rebuttal me. And then they wanted to debate me on air. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. You guys put out your own disinformation.
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to be involved with you. And I remember about 6 months later, the FDA had finally come out and said that they were going to have to label the hydrogenated fats because they were so toxic with margarine and everything else, and the butter was better. And all of a sudden, I'm like, well, the Food and Drug Administration has got something right. So Steve and Vicky brought me back on.
Yep.
And never forget, I was in the other room here at my office here at the house, and it was a telephone this time instead of a live show.
Yeah.
And they said, well, Emory University said that you were crazy, Ted. How do you respond to that? That was the opening question. Okay, we're live.
Live air.
Emory University says you're crazy, Ted. How do you respond? I said, I'm crazier than a loon. They started laughing. They said, Ted, why are you crazy? It was the Holy Spirit did this for me. I had no idea they were going to say that. And I said, because I'm crazy enough to believe that we don't have to lead the world to heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. And the leading cause in America as far as death, children, cancer, we don't have to do all that. So if that makes me crazy, I stand certifiably nuts. And they started laughing, and they said, let's do a show, Ted.
Great answer.
and then I said, oh, by the way, the FDA said that Emory was wrong. Not actually said Emory was wrong, but they implied it when they said that I was right. Well, they didn't say I was right, but they said hydrogenated oils were so toxic, they did not know how to label them on a label as far as daily allowable amounts. That's how long we've been doing this. This is like 25 years ago. You think, man, Ted, you've been doing this a long time. Yeah, I have. I've been fighting this fight for a long time, and it's so refreshing to me, Austin, to see that people are actually now getting traction as far as this. And finally, we can try to help the people in the United States, you know, from a federal standpoint, as far as cutting this crap out. I mean, it's so important. By the way, here's another thing Trump just did. He did it, too, with a couple other schools. Trump administration cuts funding to Maine University after state defies the trans ban. Whoa. The Trump administration ordered the U.S. Department of Agriculture to pause federal funds to the University of Maine's system over the state's refusal to protect women's sports.
There you go.
The UMS holds a network of 8 public colleges in Maine, the state's largest educational enterprise, according to the UMS website, with an annual enrollment of about 30,000 students. As Breitbart News reported last night, the president signed an executive order to rewrite federal Title IX education rules to withhold federal funds from schools that allow transgender athletes to play as females. I didn't realize he had done this from an executive order standpoint. I love this. Another aspect of the order would charge the Department of Homeland Security with the task of denying visas to foreign trans athletes. Woo! I love that. You hear that? So some dude comes walking to play the Olympics. I'm 6'4" and I weigh 250 pounds and I'm a woman.
I'm a female.
I'm going to go fight a woman in the ring and knock her out and break her jaw. Oh, don't think that'll happen? We almost saw that last summer, you know. So he walks in, you know, with facial hair and big, deep voice. He goes, I want to beat up a woman today. Okay, I'm going to go beat him up today. Watch me beat this woman. I'm such a man. Oh, man. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a man. I'm such a woman. You know, any other part of my life, I would have thought this is so twisted. But nowadays, it seems to be, you know,
too normal.
Unbelievable. But another aspect of the order would charge the Department of Homeland Security with the task of denying visas to foreign trans athletes who want to enter the U.S. to beat up women. I'm going to say that. That's my little words. The state of Maine has been a stalwart in defying the executive order, which later prompted the USDA to review potential 9 and 11 6 violations by the universities. The UMS spokesperson confirmed on Tuesday the funding will be paused. An email for the University of Maine that appears to have originated from the USDA's Office of Financial Officer directs the department's awarding agencies and staff offices to temporarily no longer issue any payments or authorize any releases of funding to Columbia University, that's the other one I mentioned, and the University of Maine system, the spokesperson said. The message goes on to state, this pause is temporary in nature while the USD evaluates it should take any further steps. Now, what's interesting, Columbia University is where those whack bags from the, you know, Frankfurt School basically came into the United States. They went into Columbia. And that's the same group of people that wanted to do the, you know, all this transgender crap. It all started with Columbia University.
I got to post this.
Got to post this. You're not going to show that.
I'm going to show
it. Y'all know. Trump hates women, transgender sports rights.
I stand for sports rights.
Look at this dude, man. He's got a jawline on all that facial hair. Looks like he wants to kill somebody. He's got some implants put on him. Unbelievable.
I had to post that, though. I found that photo again.
Did you put that on camera four, Rich?
Yeah.
Put it on camera four so they can see it. There you go. There you go. There's a real look at it. And see, I remember years ago, Austin, I was up in Portland, Maine. And that's one of the most liberal places I've ever been. Yeah. And one of my companies that was doing a marketing for us was up there.
Yeah.
And I remember I went out there to the gym. And there's these women walking around, man. They got lat spreads, boy. They're big. And I remember one of them looked at me and kind of just, rah, like I was going to kill you because you're not some kind of little beta male. And I remember she jumps up on the pull-up bar, boy. She jumps up on that bar, and she just starts doing like 25 reps of pull-ups.
Oh, wow.
And I thought to myself, no, and then she was pumping the reps out. And she gets down, and she growls, and rah. And I went,
sure, yeah. What a dude.
It was a woman, man. But I guarantee you she was on testosterone. And I thought to myself, wow. And then I had a friend of mine, Mike, who was living up there, working for the same company. He goes, the women up here are so aggressive.
Wrong test.
And I started laughing. I thought, wow. And that's been 25, 30 years ago. But that's Maine. That was Portland, Maine. Now, if you guys live in Portland, Maine, and you know, you can attest to this, send me a letter. If you want to argue with me, I know what I saw. But at that point in my life, I mean, I could do 25 pull-ups when in college. I could. But boy, at that point in my life, I can't do them now.
Yeah.
It just hurts my shoulders too much. And my shoulders are great unless I start doing a lot of heavy pull-ups or heavy dips. But the crazy part about
you
it is.
You're doing dead hangs all stretching your shoulder?
I've been doing those.
Okay, those help out a lot.
Yeah, I do the hanging. I grab the bar and I do 15 leg raises like that. You know, I do that every day. But the reality is my shoulders are doing great.
That helps a lot.
Unless I go really heavy. And quite frankly, you don't really need to go heavy if you know how to work properly because you can do volume. You know,
mind muscle connection too. A lot of people fail to realize that, especially with training back and stuff. It's not about just going unbelievably heavy and blasting your joints out. It's about the reps. It's about the control. It's about the negatives. Negatives are so important.
Negatives build. Negatives are when you're going down in the contraction. It actually builds more muscle than the concentric part of it. It does.
Now this is a wild story. Now this reminds me a lot of American Made. Shred and burn all documents. Usage.
Can you believe this?
Yeah, this is nuts. They sent out a memo yesterday, basically going
burn it all.
Ronald Reagan Building. Shred everything. Anything you can't shred, put it in a burn bag. U.S. officials on Tuesday ordered the agency staff to report to their now former headquarters for an all-day effort to destroy all documents and sensitive information.
It's like American Made.
The materials marked for destruction included classified safes and personal documents of the Ronald Reagan Building. Shred as many documents first. Reserve the burn bags when the shredder becomes unavailable and needs a break, says in the memo. I mean, We're not going to have the FBI come in. We're not going to do an investigation. We're not going to go in and see
No, they don't want the FBI
to come
in. That's
my point. That's what I'm saying. The fact that they're this they're this brazen about it, too, and they're doing this blatantly, and they're saying, dude.
I mean, this made national news.
I know.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, I mean, Politico covered
it. If I was Trump, I don't know if he has the authority to do that, but somebody from the Department of Justice needs to go in there and stop this.
Yeah, if you get a whole group in there fast enough, they can shred a lot of stuff really fast.
Well, this is what happened when the Nazis were leaving Berlin.
Yep.
They were burning everything. They were throwing it out the window. They had a bonfire going.
Yep.
And because, you know, without the documentation, it's very difficult at that point to prove that people were involved in all this
stuff. Says effort underscores the way in which the Trump administration is dismantling the agencies. They will not comply with anything as they manage a $40 billion annual budget and had 10,000 staff around the world. And nobody can seem to figure out what that agency ever did.
I know what they did.
It was actually productive.
Yeah.
Nobody can figure. Every single thing they touched was just basically, in my opinion, money laundering.
They were running through Tulane University. They were running these bioweapons labs out of Afghanistan, out of Sierra Leone, and out of Ukraine and other different countries. I've done a whole show on that, by the way. And it was all through the USAID. And yep. I talked about this 10 years ago, that this agency was that corrupt. In fact, I need to pull my notes up. I mentioned that the other day, and I need to do that whole series again, let you guys know what we talked about 10 years ago. We warned you they were doing this.
Yep.
But you know what's interesting to me? If I were the employees there, I just wouldn't go to work. I wouldn't go to work because it's all on camera. I would say, you know what?
I wouldn't.
I'm not going to do this. This is something you guys –
you're already terminated.
You're already fired, and you guys basically are telling us to come in and do this. And you know what? I don't want to have the Department of Justice put me on the stand. I'm just going to walk away. How about I just don't show up this day?
DOJ is probably going to get involved in this. They're probably going to do a full-blown investigation of this.
Well, this use is gone. They're dismantling the entire organization.
Now the Department of Education says they're going to cut half of its workforce. March 11th, yesterday, U.S. Department of Education announced 1,315 employees will be laid off in 90 days on part of its cost-saving measures.
Well, let's teach them how to do transgender story hour. That's what this is about.
The issue that I have with the entire Department of Education is it starts taking the way of, starts taking the rights and the ability for the states to teach properly, and it starts spending federal mandates. This is what you have to teach if you want to get any money from the federal government, the Department of Education. You have to teach this. You got to teach DEI. You got to teach transgender studies. You got to teach basically, you know, Common Core. I mean, it's insane. And so they need to get the budget cut. This needs to go away.
And don't forget the critical race theory.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you need to be really sad and hate yourself because you're white. Or you can hate yourself because you're Hispanic.
Let's do a rewind, all right? Civil War fought over states' rights, not over slavery, minor issue. Just thought I'd mention that one. And secondly, newsflash, I never owned a slave. I wasn't even here because my parents were over
Germany.
In Europe. Okay, so why in the world, even from a DNA standpoint, so why in the world do I have to loathe myself because I'm white? Oh, well, you were German. You killed Jews. No, I didn't kill any Jews, okay? Let's get a newsflash here, okay? I was born here in 55, 10 years after World War II. So why in the world, the generations before me, all the way back to the Civil War, why don't we talk about what we did to the Indians?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why don't we talk about that?
We want to start talking about,
genocide.
Smallpox blankets.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's unbelievable. So they want to make everybody of this generation, including the Germans and the Americans and the people in the South, responsible for what happened hundreds of years ago. And we're not. So it's just – you see, this is in courts. This is the interesting thing. you know, when you're when you have a defense attorney who's really good, who's really good, you know, what he does, he doesn't prove that you're innocent. He doesn't have to do that. He has to assign blame to somebody else.
That's true.
All you're doing is assigning blame. So you create a scenario in which, well, there's a 1% probability this guy did it or this girl did it. And so you put 15 different people that you assign blame to, and you go, now you have reasonable doubt.
Yep.
You can't guarantee 100% that this guy did it because you got 15 other people that had motive. So it's about assigning blame. So when they want to destroy a culture, what do they have to do? They have to assign blame to you and me for things that we didn't even do. So the person in the court case goes, I had nothing to do with that. You're assigning blame to me. Well, that's all we're doing. We're making sure he's found innocent. And what they do, that justifies their usage information that they're using and giving all this money away. And it allows transgender story. Well, the transgender got killed in Texas. It's your fault. What the heck's it my fault for? I live in Florida. Well, now you've got to accept these transgenders. Well, how about I don't want to deal with somebody who's got a mental illness? Oh, you're saying they're mentally ill? Well, yeah, I'm actually saying that. They've got some kind of gender dysphoria. I feel sorry for them. No, you've got to accept them, and you have to embrace them, and you have to allow this man to walk in and knock this woman out. And you're like, but I don't want a guy to beat up a woman. No, now you're a racist. And you're like, the heck's wrong with this?
My favorite part now with the liberal leftists is where they go, it's about women's rights.
To get knocked out.
This guy needs to have the right to be a girl and basically go fight a woman in the ring because it's women's rights. I'm like, You hear the words that are actually coming out of your mouth
now? The only person I'd like to see in a ring with a dude is Rosie O'Donnell.
She
has run off to Ireland after Trump won the election.
Yeah, she really?
Oh, she made national news with it. She's got it running that big Butch Dyke lesbian mouth of hers. And what's funny about her is that she's got this mouth going all the time. After she did what she did to Tom Selleck on her show.
Yeah.
And she eviscerated him about guns. Because Tom Selleck loves guns. I know Tom Selleck. I met him. He's a nice guy, by the way. And after she did that, I was done. And that ruined her career, too, by the way. After she did that to Tom Selleck, even all the people that tolerated her mouth said no more.
Really?
And now she's fled to Ireland. Let me tell you something about Ireland. It's the red, white, and blue country.
Yeah.
You go, oh, what do you mean by that? It's red, white, and blue. I took you and Dalton over there.
I love Ireland, man.
I love Ireland.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody's got super white skin until the immigrants came in. Now we don't know what they have over there. And everybody had red hair and big blue eyes. So good luck with that, Rosie O'Donnell, since you want genetic diversity for everybody. Enjoy red, white, and blue Ireland. By the way, I love Ireland. We did the Ring of Kerry, and we got – oh, God, the people are so nice there. But, boy, they're all about their pubs. Those Irish, they like to drink those pubs.
But the thing about them, they're not lazy, though.
No.
They hit the pub lot, but they don't stop.
And it's so green there, and it's so lush, and there's sheep everywhere. And then we went to Scotland, and it was beautiful, too. But it would say, we're sitting out having, like, a picnic. And it starts raining. Boom, rain. And then we're like, oh, my gosh. We're like grabbing sheets and umbrellas, and we're like, what the heck just happened? And it's, like, 80 degrees and beautiful. Now it's raining at 60 degrees, and then 10 minutes later, it's warm again. And you're like, this place has some unstable weather, but it's beautiful. Got some pretty castles.
It reminds me a lot. The weather reminds me, even though it's on the other side, is Hawaii.
Oh, rain.
Hawaii, so we went out there scuba diving.
We picked up a car, and the car's filthy. And it's a rental
car.
And I said to him, I said, you're giving me a filthy rental car?
It was filthy, filthy.
No, and they said, well, you can't keep it clean. It rains like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're like, and dude, what?
Just wash the car. So they washed the car. We left 5 minutes later.
We didn't get out of the parking lot. Bottom dumps out. It's monsoon. And I'm like, well, I don't think the car's going to stay clean.
No, that's when we were going to do that nighttime shark dive.
Yeah, that shark dive.
But we didn't do it.
Really choppy.
And we were going to go out there and dive that volcano. We got out there, and there were 8-foot seas. Remember that? 12-foot seas with the wind. They said, you can't come here this time of year and dive.
The problem is that if you've ever been diving before, when you get those big old swells like that, when you're in the water, down under the water, it's fine. It's actually really calm.
Getting out there, man.
It's getting back on the boat in most cases because you got to time the waves with the ladder coming out of the water. You got your BC and your tanks on. It gets sketchy, man. So
now, years ago, I was down there in Aruba diving, and they had these giant. They had these 12 foot.
Remember that?
Remember that?
Yep.
And I remember I was down there, and some guy who was a Toronto mounted police.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they're the ones who want to fight the American military with the police, right? With the horses. Just mentioning that, that's being facetious. They don't want to do.
They don't want to do that.
And they have no interest in that. And he was a Toronto mounted police, right? So he's a big boy, about 6'2", big guy, about 250 pounds. So he gets out there, sucks his BC dry, sucks his tanks dry. He hyperventilates and passes out.
Water.
But luckily, he had he was inflated.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't drowning. And so what happened is I thought, you got to be kidding me. And so he starts floating out to sea.
Yeah.
And I looked at the dive master and I said, the dude's unconscious. You need to go get him. And the waves, boom, crash. And he says, well, I don't want to get out that wave.
Oh,
I said, dude, I'm not going out to get him. I said, this is your responsibility. The guy's going to drown or get lost. So finally they get him back to the boat. And now you're exactly right. He's unconscious.
Yeah.
And you're watching this dive platform go way up and crash way back down. So we had to wait for the thing to go down, grab him.
Time it, yeah.
And two of us grabbed him, and we picked him up in the momentum of the wave, picked him up, sling him up on the boat. He was completely out unconscious.
Well, it's dangerous, man. If you don't time it properly, that dive platform will come down on top of you.
I'll kill you.
Yeah.
And then what happened is they had to take the boat back into it to get the ambulance to him because he was unconscious all the way back in. So that dinner that night, because, you know, we saved that guy's life, I walked up and said, dude, are you okay? And he acted like he didn't know what I was talking about.
I don't think he remembered anything.
He knew he was unconscious. He knew he woke up in the hospital.
Man. You black out like that.
He wakes up in the hospital. He knows something happened.
Well, yes, I knew you knew something happened.
No, he's at the dinner table with all these people. He's the Toronto Mounted Police. I'm macho.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Boomer, let me beat my chest some. Okay, look at me. I'm the bad guy. Okay. Yeah, he's the bad guy we had to drag out of the water because he sucked his tanks dry.
He probably don't remember that, though, dude.
I don't think he remembers any of that, but he remembers waking up on the doggone deck.
On the deck, standing over him.
And the boat had to go back in and drag it. And by the way, I got off the boat at the same time.
Yeah.
I said, these conditions are so bad. Because all I was hanging over the side and hurling the whole time. It was horrible dive.
Yeah, I mean, I was on one of them too, and I had some dead man of war that I got wrapped up in. Dead jellyfish man of war stripped out on the water, got all around my arm.
Oh, yeah.
I got sick, boy. I was a rougher throwing up the whole way.
I remember that. You're still small.
Yeah, they got back to the doctor. They're like, dude, you gotta go to the doctor. You gotta watch out for this. Being out in the ocean's an interesting world. You are no longer the apex predator.
Well, no. And then we drove the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. Yeah. It took, 4 hours to get out there, and everybody's hanging over the side puking. The next day, we're supposed to go back out again. I said, I'm done. I've done the Great Barrier Reef. It's four hours. Oh, my gosh.
It's insane dive. But boy,
and they got great whites running around out there.
Yeah.
And so we're big ones. No,
it was
sketchy. I thought to myself, What's lurking around this next corner of coral here? I mean, the 20-foot great white walks or comes swinging around. You're like,
and
you are the snack.
Yeah, that's what I said. You realize how insignificant you are when you start scuba diving. You really do. In the big, great world of water, you're like, oh, man, I'm 6 foot, I'm 220 pounds. Great white's like, yeah, you look yummy.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Let me just chill out.
You ain't gonna out swim them.
No. Your best bet is just get down by the coral for a little bit. Just chill. Just let them chill. Most of the time, as long as you don't want to start flailing. If you start flailing and kicking and flailing everywhere, then they think you're injured. Then they really come after you. If you just chill out, relax, most of the time they're.
Well, I've never seen a great white.
If they want you, they're going to get you.
One time I saw about an 18-foot hammerhead off the coast of Hawaii.
Tiger shark.
I think you were with us.
Yeah.
And that was interesting.
All right. Okay. Anyway, I don't know how we got involved in the scuba dive topic on there. All this is interesting, too. Another video, because we covered a bunch of this stuff with RFK today. You know, he talked about earlier about how he's talking about bankrupting the antidepressant industry because all these kids are on it. We talked about that earlier. He now did a video talking about the life expectancy among large, wealthy countries while far outspending them on healthcare, meaning the U.S. has the lowest life expectancy, but our healthcare per capita got $12,318 on average per person. And our life expectancy is one of the lowest with the highest spending per capita.
And the whole crazy part about this is if you look at it right now and you take out all the statistics of all the abortions, it's much lower than this.
It's like 71 or 72, I think.
It goes way down.
It's huge.
Yep.
But again,
we're unbelievably sick.
Well, that's what I say. Look at the money we spend. We're pretty much double, if not more, double than almost every other industrialized first world country in the entire world as far as what we spend on healthcare.
And that's why the whole system is broken. But if you're Gavin Newsom and you're in California and you basically love yourself, you're going to secretly fund a monument to yourself that you're going to put inside the San Francisco City Hall.
Is he really doing
that? Oh, that's right. I'm looking at it. California Governor Narcissism secretly paid for his own monument. you know, you're like, why would he do that? Because he's a narcissist. Then Newsom then allegedly feigned ignorance of the identity of the private donors.
He had no idea.
He funded the bust, as well as some uncertainty about his design. Other mayors have also been honored with busts inside City Hall. The funds for Newsom's bust were to be donated by private individuals. Behested payments are donations to charitable causes that politicians and politicians in California often ask donors to make on their behalf. But he decided he wanted to see himself in the bust, and he decided he wouldn't pay for the bust himself. Now, he may have had a few other people throw a little bit of money in there, but he decided to make sure that he had the bust in San Francisco City Hall to show everybody how great he was. But he does have good hair.
He's got a good hairline.
No, his hair looks good. Whatever hair products he's using, he must have some type of tranny working on his hair, because he looks really –
he keeps it sharp. Yeah. But, I mean, golly, he doesn't know how to stop spending money over there. The budget's insane. I mean, I watched a video the other day. They were talking about it was the creator of the TV show, the cartoon The Simpsons, the actual creator of it, who built this giant treehouse on his property in California. It's like this giant treehouse. The whole neighborhood would go over there. Kids would go over there all the time. Finally, the whole city came in and they said, if you don't take this treehouse down, it's about like 10 years, we're going to start fining you. We're going to charge you criminally now. You start fining every single day. And they're taking a trial, jury trial case because on this.
The kids are having so much fun.
Yeah.
They're outside playing in the sun.
So we have basically a tree fort that we're having to tear down now, or else I'm essentially going to be fined in oblivion. But it's okay for people to use drugs on the sidewalk and throw their needles on the ground and defecate on the sidewalk. That's okay. But this really, really stable built tree fort has to be torn down.
It's made it 10 years.
It was really cool.
It was like North Carolina coming in telling the Amish they couldn't build shelters.
They couldn't build the little mini houses. You have to leave the house that's built for you. You have to go sleep in a tent in the freezing cold because it's not up to code. We haven't approved it. Like, dude, pound rocks, bro.
I remember one time I was up in Mount LeConte, North Carolina, Great Smoky National Park, and I was like back.
Great hike.
Yeah, and I went up there, and it was super cold. And I went to 20 below zero with the chill factor. It was in the springtime, like in March,
April.
They got
those shelters on the top.
I finally have people that I said, look, I got to stay in one of these shelters, one of these little cottages.
Yeah.
I said, I can't deal with this because the open shelter was going to be froze to death.
Yeah.
And so, so anything is better than being outside or being in a tent.
You got to get the wind off you when it's cold out, and you got to get off the ground.
Now, by the way, Zelensky has now said he's going to do a 30-day ceasefire. Now, I don't know if any of this stuff is true, if it's just more stage theater, but it says Putin now launches drone strikes on Kiev hours after Trump challenged him to tango and to agree to basically dance with him and to agree not metaphorically dance with him. We're not going to go there. And agree Ukraine ceasefires, pressure mounts on Kremlin to back down, but they decided to launch more drones. Now, whether or not they really launched the drones or not, or Zelensky launched his own drones, Austin, instead it was the Russians who did it.
Yeah,
you don't know what's going on with this.
There's so much theater going on over there right now.
So just ignore that story as far as from a reality standpoint until we get a little bit more information on that one. That was one of those crazy ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be updating the product of the week later on today, my friends. I left the zinc running for a little bit because everybody was asking me about it, wanting to stock up on it. Looks like the B Complex won product of the week.
Great product. Methylated B vitamins.
It won, I think, like a month or 2 months ago.
But it always wins.
But it's such an effective product, and it works so good.
The multiple powder, the HGH stimulate, the purple sticks, and the B complex, and that zinc works well too. They always win whenever we run those because they're really high quality.
The D3
and the GHI would win too if we ran it as product of the week.
Well, that's why I find every time it got up for voting, it always won. I'm like, well, golly, if everybody wants it that bad, I'll do a 3-pack special on it because at least when you're doing some volume, I can take a bigger hit on it. I'm not losing any money.
Here's my GHI challenge for anybody. Go to the website. I'm not asking you to buy it. And look at the label.
Yeah.
And find me any other product anywhere made by anyone that's as good as this product.
With the doses that it has in it, without proprietary blends, it actually breaks you down each individual ingredient down to its base and gives you the full milligram dosage on it. We're as transparent as it gets when it comes to these products.
Well, you know,
on the old
purple sticks, they had these proprietary blends in them, and you could never figure out what was in them. On these, this is fully disclosed. We made sure we gave you full disclosure on this product.
I mean, there you go right there with all the. I mean, 250 milligrams of quercetin per dosage.
That's all.
Yeah, I mean, nobody does that kind of
stuff. Pomegranate extract, 400 milligrams.
150 milligrams of N-acetylcysteine per dosage. And you got to remember, that's if you just take this product by itself.
And P-protein isolate, 26 grams.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So give my friends.
Vitamin A, vitamin C, all of this stuff is in here. Great product. I love it.
If you need anything, you should have contacted us. Team Health Master, we're here to help you out. Check the products on sale. Sign up for the newsletter so you get updates on the show every day on thebrewershow.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, my friend.
And I had the opportunity to pray for you guys last night. I love you guys, and I appreciate it. And I pray special blessings to all of you guys that support Health Masters. Thank you for being one of the 3 percenters. You guys are amazing to me.
Thank you, guys.
If it wasn't for you taking care of us and helping us with this program, we couldn't be here.
We wouldn't do the show anymore.
And thank you so much also for your prayers. I love you guys. I appreciate you, and thank you.
See you guys tomorrow.